We're still waiting for the copies, but while we're waiting, we could have Deb Dyson and Peter Watson give a very brief summary, because we think they have copies. Is that correct?
Madam Chair, I only have the working draft from last night, but there are sufficient notes on that I could describe what's going to be in the final copy.
It will just save us a little bit of time. We have Ways and Means coming out, so we're...
Madam Chair, members of the conference committee, do you want me to summarize for the spreadsheets and let the money be summarized separately and just describe the language first? Madam Chair, members of the conference committee, for the University of Minnesota, the provisions are that were in the House and the Senate and that were the same at the end at the dollar amount, total of $36,400,000. For MinSCU, again, the provisions that were the same between the House and the Senate are in there, also including, however, the House provision for the Brooklyn Park campus at Hennepin Technical College. On the Fond du Lac Tribal and Community College, we took the Senate language, but both the House and Senate had provisions for that. Under the Department of Education, there is the appropriation for the Anoka-Hennepin School District for the House language for their prairie habitat, and the $30 million for the Red Lake School District using the Senate language with some slight modifications. Under natural resources, the Stillwater Flood Control Project is in, and that was both the Governor's House and Senate provision. The Canisteo Mine is from the House, is included at $1.3 million. Lake Zumbro Restoration was a Senate provision that is included. The Red River Digital Elevation Model, it was in the House and the Senate and is included. Greenleaf Lake State Recreation Area from the Senate is included. There are a number of provisions in the bill relating to the Greenleaf Lake State Park that changes it from a state park to a state recreation area.
It's a different figure than that.
The dollar amount is $500,000. Fort Snelling Upper Bluff was in the House and the Senate and is included. The State Trail Acquisition and Development, all four of the trails between the House and the Senate are included, the Cayuga Lakes Trail, Gateway, the tunnel under, I guess it's under Highway 36, the Loose Line Trail, and the Browns Creek segment, that's generally known as the Minnesota Zephyr property. For the Pollution Control Agency, the grant to Albert Lee, that was in the House and the Senate and is included in the bill. For the Board of Water and Soil Resources, for the RIM project, it's at a number, the House number, the $8 million for RIM, and but has the Senate language, which was also the proposal from the governor's office for the in terms of language. The Lake Titlow Watershed Improvements is included, as was provided in both bills. For the zoo inflow and infiltration emergency abatement was the governor's proposal and was in the House and Senate bills at the dollar amount requested. The Department of Administration, proposal for repair of the exterior of the transportation building from the governor's proposal that was in the House and the Senate that is included and is trunk highway bonding. The property acquisition in St. Paul that was in all of the three proposals is included at the dollar amount requested. And then the House provision for the Veterans Memorial in Eden Prairie is included. Under public safety, the House and Senate language, or the House and Senate provision for the Anoka County Broken Crime Lab is included, and it's the Senate language with a few other additions relating to the non-state commitment. I this is general fund money, but so there's a slight modification in the non-state match requirement. Gonvick is included at the, that was a Senate provision at $50,000, and that's included. Scott County Public Safety Training Center, that's included at $1.5 million, and that was a Senate provision. The Southeastern Minnesota Regional Public Safety Training Center is included at $1.5 million. Again, that was a Senate proposal. And then Browns Valley Flood Relief is included at $2 million, and this was a Senate proposal. And this is to mitigate damage to public and private property. Transportation. The local bridge replacement is program is funded at $30 million from bonding. The port development assistance is was in both the House and the Senate. But it's funded at $500,000. The Mankato District headquarters is trunk highway bonds and is at the $20,673,000 amount that was in both the House and the Senate provisions. The high-speed rail line is included at $2 million, and it is the Senate language that was used for that provision. And then the House provision for the commuter rail extension is included at $250,000. The North Shore Express Intercity Rail Initiative is included. This was a House provision, but there was a Senate position on it in another bill, and they were the same. For the Metropolitan Council, the Central Corridor is included at $40 million. It is funded out of bond proceeds. And there were just slight differences between the House and Senate in the language, and it's the House language, along with the Senate provision relating to the relocation of district heating and cooling relocation in the right-of-way. The South St. Paul Span Arch Bridge is included, and I believe that was a Senate provision. The Union Depot, both the House and Senate had funding for this, and this project is included in the funding split between the general fund and bond proceeds. It's at $3 million and $2.5 million is from the general fund.
For members of the public, more copies are coming. We just had them bring the first 55 copies, and they'll be followed shortly. If you don't get a copy first time around, there will be one here very soon. Yes, please continue.
Okay. The corridor transitways, the House provision for Rush Line is included, and also the Red Rock and the Southwest Corridor. And then the transit master plan language is included, and it's a rewrite of what was in the Senate bill originally, and directs the Metropolitan Council to develop a regional master plan. And included in this, one paragraph, it says that the plan must include, but it's not limited to, the analysis of the I-94 and the I-494 corridors. The Metropolitan Regional Parks appropriation includes the $3.8 million for the St. Paul, as a grant to the City of St. Paul for the National Great River Park, and then $2 million to the City of Fridley for the Springbrook Nature Center. Under the Department of Human Services, both the House and Senate had $150,000 for the secure treatment facility, and it is the Senate language that provided that the money go to as a grant to the Polk County for pre-design of this facility. Under corrections, these are provisions that were requested by the governor and were included in the House and Senate bill, and they are in the dollar amounts requested. Employment and Economic Development includes $150,000 in bonding for the Bayport Storm Sewer Project, and that was a Senate proposal for the deck. Governor, the House, and the Senate all had funding for the deck. It is at the $37 million amount and is from the general fund, and generally is the there were some slight differences in the language, and it's the House language. For the Itasca County Steel Plant Infrastructure, it's at $30 million, and this was in both the House and the Senate provisions. Rochester Mayo Civic Center Complex is funded, and that was in both the House and the Senate. The Wildlife Rehab Center at $500,000 was a House provision and is included. Rice Street Bridge over Trunk Highway 36, that was in the House and Senate and is included in this at $2 million. St. Cloud State University, the National Hockey Center, was a Senate provision, is included at a slightly lower dollar amount at $10 million. There is language for the Housing Finance Agency that was in the Senate bill that allows the Housing Finance Agency to use Disaster Relief Contingency Fund related to Browns Valley. And then the bond sale expenses and the bond sale schedule are as they were in the bills before. The total bond authorization from the bond proceeds fund, when you go through the spreadsheet, they cover that, but there's the bond authorizations to cover the appropriations made. And then there's the bond sale authorization reductions from 2005 and 2006 related to the Lewis and Clark transfer of funds from bonding for those projects in 2005 and 2006 to making those general fund appropriations. There's also included the reduction in the 2006 bond sale authorization related to the Starbase Minnesota appropriation that is repealed at the end of the bill and it's my understanding that's being handled as general fund in another bill. The sections then following that relate to the change. Sections 21 and the following sections relate to the lease and management contracts for grants or use of capital funds and entering into lease management contracts with non-governmental agencies for use of state bond finance property. These are provisions that were in the House bill. There are a couple of additions, and in particular, let's see if I can give you a page. On page 28, there is a section general applicability, and then on page 29, the grant agreement subdivisions that are added. Those are from the bills that were introduced in the House's House file 1018, and I don't recall the Senate file number.
835.
On page 29, you'll see section 27. This is related to the change of Greenleaf State Park to a state recreation area. And then sections 28 through 42, it looks like, relate to the Northwest Airlines, the Lewis Maintenance Base Facility. That was in the House bill and is included here. Section 43, the flood hazard mitigation grants. This was from the Senate bill and adds Browns Valley to the 2005 flood hazard mitigation grants program. And then on page 41, section 44, again, this relates to Greenleaf State Park. It's changing the name of the Greenleaf Lake State Recreation Area in appropriation. Section 45, the public safety. This was not in either of the bills, but it is a change to identify the entity in the City of Blue Earth that is the Economic Development Authority in and for the City of Blue Earth, and this relates to their bond appropriation from 2005 for the police station, fire and police station. Section 46 was a House provision relating to the overarching project and extends their the ability to use their appropriation for another year. Section 47, asset preservation. This is the Minnesota Veterans Home appropriation from 2005. It's changing, amending the language relating to the use of federal funds received by the Veterans Home Board to, instead of saying that it's for asset preservation, it allows that the federal funds can be used for repairs and betterment at the homes. This was not in either of the bills, but was in something that members had looked at and for inclusion. Section 48, from 43 to 44, again, that's the Lewis and Clark project, changing that to general fund. 49 is the House language relating to the library merger between Hennepin County and the City of Minneapolis, and provides for the 2005 bond appropriation to go to Hennepin County if the other bill is enacted. So it has a contingent effective date tied to the passage of those other two, or the other bill. Section 50 was a Senate provision and relates to the Ford building and prohibits demolition before June 30th of 2000. It changes the date by 1 year. Section 51 is the language that was in the governor's and House and Senate bill relating to McPhail project. And then Section 52, again, is the flood hazard mitigation grants and adds Browns Valley and Ed Rosso to the 2006 appropriation, and that was the Senate provision. Section 53 is the Lake Superior Safe Harbors project that was in the Senate bill, I believe. And then Section 54 is the water control structures that was in the governor's proposal and in the House language that adds public water reserves to the use of that funding from 2006. Section 55 is the Senate provision relating to use of state funds to match for the regional trails, for the Agassiz recreational ATV trails, and it says snowmobile trail grant money can be used to match. Section 56 is the Senate provision relating to the letter of no prejudice for federal transportation purposes on the North Star Commuter Rail project. 57 is the redevelopment account language that for the Campbell Soup Factory, and that was in both the House and the Senate bill. Section 58 is the Lewis and Clark 2006 appropriation change to general fund. Section 59, again, this was not in either of the bills, but something that had been brought forward to the House and the Senate for inclusion in modified 2006 appropriation for Historic Fort Snelling Museum and Visitor Center. And then Section 60 is the House provision relating to a Met Council report on the East Phillips Cultural Community Center. Section 61 is the Public Facilities Authority provision that was in both bills. Section 62, page 53, is the Greenleaf Lake State Recreation language, and this is what transfers all of that state park language into state recreation. Section 63, revisers and instruction relates to the Northwest Airlines and Duluth Maintenance Base provisions. The repealer also relates to that, but also in paragraph A, there's the addition related to Greenleaf Lake State Park. Repealing that out of state park provisions, and then paragraph B has the provision of repealing the Starbase Minnesota appropriation from 2006, and that's the bill.
And because we have done numbers as we have gone through, unless members feel the need, I think we won't duplicate it by going through the spreadsheet, and would just ask if there are Senate staff who want to add additional clarification or if there are members who have any clarifying questions. Senator Wergen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. If you would look at page 45, lines 18 and 19, I think we have a little problem there. It says Section 50, and then it says Section 46, Board Building. That's okay.
Madam Chair, members, as you'll see on line 18, it's amending Section 50 of this bill is amending Section 46 of Law 2005, Chapter 156, Article 2.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions?
Yeah.
Representative Tingelstad.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Page 52, Fort Snelling, that has changed from an earlier version, and I'm just wondering if we can have an update or some kind of explanation on that.
Yes, this was brought to us by the Historical Society, and at one point they had anticipated that the Cavalry Barracks building would actually be renovated, and they discovered that, in fact, the cost is much higher than anticipated. And so there is still the concept of the visitor center, but not as a renovation of the Cavalry Barracks building. I suspect, is that sufficient? They could certainly come forward if you have questions.
Yeah. Well, Madam Chair, just a comment. I think this has been a bonding request for probably at least 10 years, and every time we visit, we see how terrible it is, and there's mold growth, and we say, how could they ever fix it? But I'm just hoping that this is a message that we're not going to see a future request for trying to fix these buildings.
I am sure there will be a future.
Would you want to ask them specifically? We could invite them to the table if you want.
I don't think so. We can talk more and talk about next year's bonding bill.
Any further questions? If not, I would move adoption of the conference committee report and invite the co-chair to comment.
Well, the combined total was $312 million, and the House did want to stay under the $300 million, so we had to cut $12 million out. So there's a few things that we didn't particularly want to do that we did, but that always comes in when you get into the street. But I think it's basically a very good bill that we have. Of course, the Senate is quite disappointed that the university authorization isn't in it, and I had hoped at some point the capital renovation, something would have come about there. But as far as those two are concerned, there's still a month till the end of the session, so maybe something will reappear. Maybe the guy down at the corner office can make something faster.
Any further discussion or comment? Senator Wirtz.
Well, Madam Chair, I'm just a little bit concerned that we're moving forward with this bill really quickly with a lot of one-time money in it without taking a look at the whole budget, if you will, not meaning that all of the bills have to happen at one time, but knowing that we are expending a lot of one-time resources, and I'm not necessarily opposed to that by any means, because I understand that sometimes these capital expenses are actually a pretty decent use for that. But at the same time, I'd like to have a little more full picture of where we're going with all the rest of the budget before we move forward with one portion like this.
And I think Senator Langseth and I would have happily waited till nearer the end of the session, but we respond to when our targets are set and when they want our bills on the floor. And so we acted rather quickly this week when given that direction. Further.
When it comes to some of the projects, of course, it's kind of nice to get this done early so that the process is now out of the ground and whatever it takes. They can just move ahead. So different. There's been other years when we tried to go. I think a couple of years ago we did go early. I think it was last part of March or something like that that we passed. So this doesn't necessarily go in sync with the rest of the budget. I understand your, and we don't know for sure exactly what the timetable is on this yet either.
Any further questions or comments? Representative Tingelstad.
Chair, first of all, I want to thank Senator Langseth for bringing in Commissioner Hansen yesterday to kind of give the point of view from finance. And as you recall, he said that it was likely that the governor would veto all or most of the bill until the overall budget agreement was made. And I understand that things are still in the works, and I appreciate that. But, I have some constituents who asked me how this works with conference committee, with how you negotiate, compromise, and I just want to make note that when it left the Senate floor, the full package was at $285 million, left the House floor at $255 million, and now it's coming back at $299 million. So it's hard for me to explain that now the Senate bill will be $14 million over, And the House bill will be $44 million over, and that is truly a compromise. So, especially in a year where it's non-bonding.
And I think what would be important for the public to hear as well, it's not necessarily compromise as it is a whole new set of targets. Both the House and the Senate individually send some targets to all of their committees, and then when those bills come together, we then have a whole new set of targets given to the conference committees, and that is the new number. And so I would say it's not so much compromise as it is responding to the new targets provided to the working group.
And of course, if we let's just suppose we'd cut in between the 137 and 120, then we would have had to knock out $70 million worth of projects on both sides. And there was we were kind of responding to each other a little bit. I had thought I was going to be a fair amount higher, and I was told that it was quite a bit lower than I thought. And so there was one particular project there, the Red Lake project, which I took $25 million out of that rather than just knocking out a bunch of them, but with the idea that the House had Red Lake in there. Well, I think both sides, to a certain degree, responded to what was on the other side.
Senator Wharton.
Oh, Madam Chair and Senator Langseth, that's a part of that's a little bit what troubles me is that if we have a higher target than what both the Senate and the House had in the first place, who has a lower target? Because the money has to come out of something somewhere. If each conference committee goes into conference and then comes out with higher targets than they had going in on both sides, something's going to have to give. So who
well, in our particular situation, the Senate, it was $629 million put in the reserve. So the difference between the 137 and the 164, that's $27 million, then we've only got $602 million in the reserve. Now, the House was and the governor are different in that they did pretty much, well, I think you did put $100 and some million into the reserve, I believe. But there's flexibility, and there's over $1 billion worth of one-time money, and it's just a matter of priorities as to how they get allocated. But in our case, I suppose you could say $27 million came out of the reserve.
Well, and Madam Chair and Senator Langseth, I'd sure like to see what else is coming out of the reserve because that was the DFL proposal to put it in. So I'm kind of wondering what else is going to come out at this point. And without seeing a little bit more of a whole picture, I'm in trouble.
There are no further Senator Senchum.
great bill and all that, but I will admit that I'm troubled by the lack of the bonding authority for the University of Minnesota, and I don't know whether or not there might be ways within the language that had been provided to massage that to make it work. And what I'm saying, if there were technical difficulties, is there a chance to work through those? If it's plain flat out, you don't necessarily agree with going forward into these kind of horizons. That's one thing. But I think biosciences and biomedical research, Senator Langs had pointed out the other day in terms of it's important to the future of our state. I'm troubled and I'm concerned that it's not in there, and so. I would like, and I don't have the language with me, I guess it's over in my office, but if there are some language barriers that would permit, just stand there and that we just can't seem to agree upon, that would be one thing. But if we have the vision, my question is, I guess, is there a way to make that vision work, even with some different language?
And I don't know if I speak for the House conferees, and they can correct me. I think it is the concept. It is not the commitment to bioscience in this state, but it was the overall concept, and so I think the...
In terms of the way it was drafted? I'm sorry,
no,
Madam
I think
Chair.
It was the overall concept going in that direction. So tweaking language wasn't really the issue. Any further?
I do think the Senate really did have a different vision on that, because we have passed that a year ago, I think, as a separate bill, quite all but a handful of votes, seven votes or something like that. And so I think we have been very much on target to do that language and make that commitment. So it isn't just that this conference committee or our particular committee was for it. I think the entire Senate was very, very supportive. And I am disappointed as well, but I do think there's a third entity that has to come in here at some point.
Any further discussion? If not, all in favor of the motion to adopt the conference committee report, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no.
No.
Motion carries. The conference committee report is adopted, and we thank you for hard work in a very short period of time, particularly the staff, as usual, bears the brunt of it. And if there were not sufficient copies, we can make those available. We can make those available.
Do you have any
of that?
The original
for signature?
Yes.
The original. Oh, I remember. Meeting is adjourned.